You're listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Where the host is fly.
The love is dope.
And the conversation is always 100.
Welcome back to your favorite podcast. It is love. It's love that's black. Or I'm Harvey.
The love is black.
No, podcast. It's love that's black.
You said the love that is black.
Whatever. I'm describing the podcast. Let me redo this. Welcome to your favorite podcast. Love is black. I'm Harvey.
And I'm Carice.
Nice to see you, Carice. Stop correcting me. We are a minute in. Damn, baby.
I am helpful. I'm a very helpful individual.
Are you really?
Yes.
Is that what you call it?
Yes. Helpful? Mm-hmm. All the time. And you know, what I've learned over time is that you don't like help. You don't like help. No. I provide help and you don't like help.
No, I like help. I like help that I ask for.
What? I have to wait until you're struggling. So if I see you drowning, I have to wait until you can just...
Baby, I can't breathe.
That's why I wait.
That's when you help me.
Okay.
I forget that.
Okay.
So this season has been a lot of this random banter with my beautiful wife. But more importantly, it is Black love at its finest. Couples, young, old, new, just in the beginning stages, been through the struggle, been through the fight, the storm. It's been a great season. I feel like I've learned so much just talking to these couples. Do you agree, babe?
Yes. Is it over though?
It feels no, like it's not just... because oh. we keeping it going.
Oh, it felt like he was writing a conclusion.
No, don't do that, baby.
Okay.
No. So we found another couple. And I think the reason I like them is because looking through Instagram, looking through pages, Black, B-L-A-Q. I like the way they spelled Q. Black. That made me feel good. Black and black. It's black, but black with a Q at the end.
A little funk on it.
A little funk on it. I like that. So Philip and Amber are on with us. Thank you for joining us. How y'all doing today?
Hey guys, we're doing good.
Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for joining us. Like I told you guys before, I'm on your page. I see what you guys are doing and I'm enjoying your content. So it's a pleasure to be able to speak with you.
We definitely appreciate it.
We're definitely humbled to be here.
Oh, thank you. No. So,
all right, guys, well, let's jump right in. Where did you two meet and how did your love story begin?
All right, this is actually our favorite story.
It really is. I'm gonna start this story because it just depends on who tells the story. So we met when I was in ninth grade and Philip was in 10th grade. We went to a camp, a leadership camp together. We went to the same high school. So we went to this leadership camp together. And when we first met, neither one of us remember how we had the initial, like, hi, I'm Amber. Hi, I'm Philip. All we remember is that in this camp, we kissed.
So on the very first day, Carice and Harvey, that we met, we kissed.
Go ahead, Phil.
But we don't remember how it happened. But the very first time we met each other, we did.
And it was an overnight camp. So we were there for like 3 nights. And the entire time, we just decided we were boyfriend and girlfriend in this camp.
Yeah. So we were just kissing.
I just don't know why. Like, I don't know what possessed us. Like, none of that. But
then after we got back to school, we act like we didn't even know each other.
Yeah.
Audacity.
Right. At that point, and it was mutual. It was just like, we were just cool then. It was just like, hey, what's up? Actually, when we got back, I told my best friend that I had kissed this guy, but I couldn't even remember his name. And I know it sound like this sound like I may have did this all the time, but I did not. But I had to like point him out in the cafeteria for my friend to tell me what his name was. And so I was like, that boy over there. And just so every time we saw each other, like the rest of high school, it was just like, hey, what's up?
That was it.
And that's it.
Our relationship actually didn't start till like 5 years later.
Right.
So, but the first time we actually met, we kissed and we just left it there. Like what happened at this camp? Just
stayed at the camp like your face.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
How we met.
Right. It's super funny. And so then when we actually reconnected. So then he graduated a year before I did. He went to one school. I graduated the next year, went to a totally different school. But then I end up transferring schools. And I say that it was God because, and not I say, it was. I had a boyfriend at the time that I transferred that went to the school that I originally went to. I went to Fisk University. And my boyfriend went there as well. But I wanted to transfer. He picked the school that I transferred to. Like, we were going to transfer together. And so we end up, he did not transfer, but I did. And I transferred to school with Philip. And that's how we reconnected.
Yeah.
And so we just knew each other again. And we just, you know, decided to hang out and be friends.
And it literally started from there.
It really did.
Wow. So you guys started from, you know,
we jumped a few steps.
Hard pause on
yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. We probably laid a lot on you all.
No. I tell you, actually, this is going to sound bad. I know I'm older than both of you. I'm 46.
Okay.
I'm an 80s kid. And your story, this is, I'm so TV nerdy. That either one of you guys watch Who's the Boss?
No.
What? I feel like I've heard of it.
The reason, your story is very similar. Okay, we're going to move on. I'm nerdy TV. I watch a lot of TV.
Okay, now and I'm going to have to look it up.
Maybe I'll send you something to kind of show you what I mean.
Okay.
Definitely.
But that's
definitely
how the two main characters on the show met. And they didn't find out till like 20 years later that they'd actually been at camp and they were each other's first kiss.
Wow.
So, yeah, I have really random facts in my head. If you didn't know. when you said that, I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, that happened. So ignore
it. We knew the entire time. Like every time I would see him, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the boy that I kissed. Mm-hmm. But it was nothing else. That's really? It. And so then when we were, you want to say something?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. And then when we were in the same college together, like I still had this boyfriend that led me to the school with Philip anyway. And so we just start hanging out and literally just as friends, like it wasn't like any undertones or like anything else between us. So for the longest, we just had a friendship. And then from there, the friendship just kind of morphed into more than a friendship. But it was just so funny because I don't even remember when we talked about it again. Like, you remember when we went to that camp and we kissed and all that? Like, it just all kind of happened.
Wow.
That's good. Wow. Okay. All right. So you guys are both in school together. This is a budding friendship. Mm-hmm. So obviously you said you were friends, but was there any, were you feeling something? Either one of you, was there like, you know what? I kind of like this girl or I kind of like this guy. You were strong already, bro. It was.
So this is my point of view of how it all happened.
Do tell.
So the more you spend time with someone, you know, the more you're naturally going to like them more than, you know, just friends.
Agree.
So I liked Amber. I will definitely admit that. But I believe that she was playing kind of hard to get. I think she liked me too. But, you know, around that time, you know, when girls are really tough on the guys that they really like.
Which is why he think I liked him because I was mean, but I keep telling him I was just a mean person. Wow. Like I wasn't.
Wow.
I wasn't trying to be mean to you. I was a girl.
Nah, honey. You know how the girls are really tough on you,
mm-hmm.
but they really like you.
But I know what he means. That just wasn't it.
Okay.
And we talk about this every time. Like we debate and go back and forth all the time over this. But so yeah, carry on.
Because she was giving me a hard time. A hard time.
But that had been kind of backtracking because things kind of moved so fast at first. And you know, we jumped right into a kiss before we even knew each other.
Yeah, at 14 and 15. Now we're at 20 and 21, or we may have been younger than that. I think I was 19 and you were 20.
Something like that.
Yeah, but something like that, literally like 5 years later. And so now we are being friends. And for us, it really just wasn't even let's start over. Let's take this from the beginning.
It wasn't even nothing like that because we didn't even, it wasn't in our mind that we had a beginning.
At all.
It was just kind of happened and we moved on.
Yes.
So now that we've started this relationship, you know, kind of in college, it was more like of just
it was a fresh relationship.
It was more like a familiarity of that. We were both in the same city. We went to the same high school. She came to my school. So I'm like, you know, I want you to hang around me. And I was a junior at the time, so I think I'm big man on campus. So let me show you around. We ate in the calf together and, you know, just kind of stuff like that.
And then we enjoyed each other's company. So really, like the first couple times of us hanging out, we just realized, oh, I actually like him as a person.
Yeah.
So we just literally start like hanging out and talking on the phone, and not even with still like the romantic part of it. It was just, we enjoyed each other's company that much.
Watching TV, listening to music. Yes. I mean, just the whole night.
And we would talk like until 2 o'clock in the morning, just like sitting in the car, and just, I mean, we built just such a genuine friendship. And so as we kind of moved into the lane of like one of us liking each other and us kind of both liking each other, I mean, it was so natural. Like it just morphed so easy.
Yeah,
that's good.
Okay, but Philip definitely fell first.
Oh, he was falling.
For sure.
And then when I fell, I tried to deny it. I did. But it was just kind of like, no, you actually do like him. And all my friends kind of realized I liked him before I did.
Yeah, because they was like, why are you being so mean to Philip? He is so sweet. He's a gentleman. Why are you being so mean to him?
My friends were always team Philip. They have always been in his corner. And I would just be like, I mean, it's Philip. Like, it's Philip. We friends. And after a while, I was like, oh, you really do like Philip. Like, there's something there. And it just, kind of moved.
So how did things switch gears? Was there like an official conversation? Was there just another random kiss? Like, what made things move to the next step?
You want to go?
Okay, so we always hesitate because we have to preface this with, don't be like us. Like, don't do what we did. It just so happened to work out for us, but I would not recommend it. So, you know, you're in college and you think you're grown. You think you do what grown folks do. So that's really how the relationship started. After we kind of built a friendship, we just kind of moved into doing what grown folks did. And at the time, it was still like, we liked each other, but we definitely, I don't think we liked each other enough to be having sex with one another. Now, just looking back, I don't think we did. But you know, we felt like we were grown, and we felt like we wanted to do it, so we did. And so we started our relationship that way, but then we had a conversation about, you know, just, I mean, you can live your life and do your thing, and if you just start doing your thing with somebody else, let me know. And we can stop doing this. Like,
a benefit situation, a benefit package to friendship.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
But I will say this, because I, and Philip didn't know this at the time, but I was in such a broken place emotionally that's all that I could handle. And so, but I wanted to be safe, and I wanted to use what I thought was common sense at the time. So I was like, well, if we're going to be friends with benefits, you don't need to be giving benefits out to anybody else, but we're not together and I don't want to stop you. So if you want to give benefits to somebody else, let me know and I'll stop us. So that was kind of the premise of our relationship. And so we literally were, as simply as the words say, friends with benefits. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were that for like a couple years.
Yeah, probably about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, we were... Yeah. That's why I said don't be like us. We were there for a couple years. Mm-hmm.
Wow. A couple years. So, question. During that time frame, that couple of years, were there any exchanges or thoughts about love? Any exchanges of I love yous? Any of that happened?
Oh, for sure.
Was it really just friendship, like absolute friend zone, occasional fun?
No, for sure. Like, we fell in love with each other
during that time.
And we said that we loved each other during that time. But it wasn't until maybe the fourth year, the year before we got married. And Amber was like, just look, what are you going to do?
So,
like, we have been doing this thing long enough.
And it's funny.
I love you. You love me.
Right.
What are you going to do, man? You know, pretty much. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
Well, and what happened was I was not even available emotionally when we started this. But somewhere along the way, I do understand that the roles reversed, and where Philip was feeling me more first, I definitely flipped. And now I have all my feelings into this, and I'm head over heels and I'm in love, but we're in this friends with benefits situation. And so that's when it starts to get like tricky. And so even some of that time, it was kind of like off and on, because I feel like I can't make him give me more, because that's not how we started. But now I want more.
Yeah, because now at this point, I got comfortable in what we were doing.
Right.
So in the beginning, I really liked Amber more than she liked me. But now we're doing this friends with benefits thing, and it's not going anywhere. We're stagnant for these years, so I don't see it going anywhere. But now Amber is starting to fall in love with me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm more like, so why are you in love with me and you want us to be together when this is what we've been doing for years? Like, I don't understand.
But I will say this, it wasn't an adult conversation like this.
No, not at all.
It was I want to be with you, but I'm mad that I feel like I can't tell you I want to be with you, so I'm just going to stop talking to you.
Yeah.
And every time we tried, like, both of us would stop talking to the other person for whatever reason, but we would always, like, find our way back. So we would maybe not talk for, like, 3 months. And then, right, I know, it was weird. We really had a lot going on. We did too much is what we did. And then we would come back to one another. But then, I mean, in that whole time process, we really were like falling in love with one another. Mm-hmm. And it just got to a point to where I was just like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, we're going to be together or we're not going to be together. So you let me know what you want to do. And even still, it took a little bit of that before we actually got to a point to where, okay, we're actually going to be together. And when we got into a relationship, like an official girlfriend and boyfriend relationship, like we had a serious conversation, like, hey, we're not going back and forth. Like, we love each other. We're going to be committed to one another and we're moving towards marriage. But I feel like because of everything else that happened, we were in a place where we now can say this and mean it and know the other person means it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, So Philip, I have a question for you. So,
yes, sir.
Amber mentioned that emotionally she wasn't really ready for a relationship. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? Did you realize that?
I didn't have a clue, Harvey. Okay. I didn't have a clue. And that's really the beautiful part of the story, is because we were genuinely friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't aware that Amber was in such a dark place until years later, after she kind of told me, like, I don't know if y'all are familiar with a song by Monica. What's the name?
Love All Over Me.
Love All Over Me.
Y'all know that song by Monica?
And there's a part in the song where she says that you put the color back into my life. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Amber told me. And that's just the best way that I can explain it to you, is that she was in a really dark place during that time. And when I came around just to be a genuine friend to her, from someone that she knew in high school, because she transferred to another school and she knew some people, but you know, she's in a completely different environment.
That I hated.
Yeah, that she hated. She didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, I came at the right time for her in her life, and our relationship just took off after that.
Yeah.
And it was really just God's time.
And I realized, like, that was my whole purpose for transferring schools and everything. And when I heard that part of Monica's song, which I had heard before, but when I heard her say it that time, like, I just start crying. And I was like, no, that's literally what Philip is to me. Like, he legit put the color back into my life. And yeah.
Wow. All right. So I'm loving this. So I know we're gonna play. I don't know. I'm gonna listen to that song after we finish recording.
Yes.
Need to be reminded. I like that. But I've listened to you guys and I'm interested in Philip, how Amber's mom gave you that gentle push. Because I was listening today.
Yeah.
And Amber, you was like getting your mom in, and she's like, you dead afraid of her mom.
So her mom is a retired military veteran. And she is so sweet, so beautiful, but she will get under your chin. And when we told
My mama don't play.
Yeah, she don't play at all. But when we told Amber's mom that, all right, that we're gonna get married, we're having a baby, she was like, okay, all right, so when's the wedding? Like, the wedding needs to happen ASAP. So I was like, okay, sure. But it was just a conversation between me and Amber's mom. Like, Amber was in another room, but she had me pretty much pent up against the wall, like, hey, what are you gonna do? Because now you've been around for years. Like, me and Amber's mom have had a relationship at this point, you know, so she knows that I've been around and things of that nature, but now she's like, all right, let's make it happen.
Right. And she knew how we felt about one another. Yeah. So for her, it was, I know that you guys are in love. You guys have been doing this for a while. Now y'all are bringing a baby into this. Like, do my daughter right. Like, don't have her out here like this. And I was so against it at the time. I was just like, no, like, we're fine. We'll get married, you know, later on and we'll plan it. And she was like, no, I'm telling you, you don't want to, you know, go through this process and not have the security of, you know, having the husband and having all of that. And we had talked about being married plenty of times. Like, we knew we were going to get married.
Absolutely.
So we just didn't feel like we needed to get married because I was pregnant, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even think that's what he asked.
I mean, but
you answered it. But Harvey rushed the story a bit because we went from like.
Right. And now we're pregnant.
Exactly. Exactly. He was just so excited.
That's all right, Harvey. We'll let this in. Get him in there.
We're going to backtrack a little.
Yeah. So fill in the gaps in between there because we missed.
Right. Because we just started dating.
Yeah, you got a whole baby now. We got to get there. Hold on.
So you want to go or?
So no, so this is, I mean, we were boyfriend and girlfriend. So we were boyfriend and girlfriend for probably about, 8 months?
Yeah, stuff happened fast, like after we got into a relationship. But it wasn't a fast that we weren't comfortable with because, mind you, we had already been doing this for like 5 years now. So we've been in love for at least 3 or 4. So it moved fast, but it was at a timeline that needed to happen because we were already doing the other things. And it's like, at this point, we're just not being adult enough to have the conversations and make them happen. And when I say we at this point, I really do mean Philip. And I'm just going to be honest about it.
Yes, you do mean honest.
Because at this point, I knew what I wanted. But I'm just going to say it was Philip. But so things start happening really quickly. And then we have been together for 8 months and then go ahead.
Yeah, we've been together for 8 months and then we got pregnant and we said, you know what?
Dang, was it 8 months from then?
Yeah. Oof. Absolutely.
It happened quick.
From August to April, yeah. Uh-huh, that's 8 months.
Yeah, and after that, it was just, we're about to have a baby. And then shortly after that, it was, oh, we're about to get married. And I mean, stuff just start, that's the only thing we focused on then, and stuff just start happening super quick. And our relationship was so good, but when we initially like made it official, it still felt like it was a 5-year-old relationship and not just a, we've just been dating for 8 months. Yeah. Like we had been, for us.
Yeah.
Right. So for us, we had been dating forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what was it like finding out that you were pregnant? Was it like an initial excitement? Did it bring a lot of fear, a little uncertainty? Like,
I was devastated. And I'll just be honest, I was devastated.
I was cool about it.
It just, you know, when you have this plan, this picture of what you think your life is gonna be, I didn't want to get married because I was pregnant, but I knew I didn't want to have kids and not be married. I didn't want to have kids with multiple men and all of that. So, and then also I just didn't feel like I was where I wanted to be, like career-wise and just stability-wise. I was 24. And so I just felt like, hey, I don't think I'm ready for this. But at the same time, it's like, well, you're pregnant. So you kind of need to get ready. So I was really devastated. And I remember when I told Philip, like, I was really nervous and he was so calm. Like, he was so cool about it. Like, he didn't make any, like, expressions or anything to make me think that he felt some type of way. Like, he was super comforting, which was so reassuring to me. And I had to remember, like, even though you're pregnant and you didn't expect to be pregnant right now, this is the person that you expected to be pregnant with. Mm-hmm. So it was like, y'all gonna be all right. So it took a couple weeks for me to get to a point to where I had, like, come to terms with the fact that, like, hey, you're about to have a baby. Y'all are about to have a baby, and y'all life is about to be totally different.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Philip, how did you feel when you heard? Now, obviously, there was a certain outward, you showed her calmness and, oh, we're going to be good. But when you first heard that, that's a big moment for a man to hear that you
about absolutely to have
a baby. So what was going on inside Phil?
So on the inside, I was really shocked. But on the outside, I knew I had to be calm because I knew she was devastated. But I was just, on the inside, I was really shocked, but I was more excited shocked. I was like, you know, like, I wasn't expecting this, but okay, cool. Like, you know, we can do this. And I don't know how I even forgot to even mention this.
What?
But at the time, my son was six. I had a son in college before me and Amber even started to, before she transferred schools. I had a son in college, and he was one at the time when she transferred schools. So when Amber told me she was pregnant, this is now my second child, and but with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So when she told me that she was pregnant, I was shocked, but I was really excited. Like, okay, this is great. I mean, because we love each other. It's not like this was, you know, a one night stand or anything like that. Like, so even though I was shocked, it wasn't like I was, this came out of left field.
Right.
You know? So I was really happy about it.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that's great.
Which really balanced me out. And that's really the reoccurring theme in our relationship. Philip always balances me out. I always go left field on every single thing in life. And Philip always, like, just balances me. I say all the time, he's the calm to my storm. And it is so true.
Okay. I like that. I love that. Okay. All right, so you find out you're pregnant,
yeah.
Take a little time to wrap your head around the fact that you're gonna have a baby.
Uh-huh.
Is there an engagement story? A proposal story, excuse me. Is there like, oh, Phil, did you plan something, or was it just like, we're gonna get married?
There is a proposal story. It's not a extravagant thing like I proposed to her in a hot air balloon or anything like that. But I proposed to her on the weekend of my brother's graduation. He was graduating college and my family was around. And I actually kind of orchestrated it with my 6-year-old son at the time. And I was like, hey, you know, I want you to ask Amber, will she marry your dad? And he said, okay, he'd do it. And I kind of got everybody quiet because we were having like a graduation dinner. And I got everybody quiet and I said, you know, Philip has something to say. My son is Philip. So he turns to Amber and he asks
her. Wait, before you tell them that he asked me, he said, Philip has something to say. And I'm probably like 4 weeks pregnant, maybe 5. But I didn't understand what the 6-year-old had to say at the graduation party. So I was slightly annoyed because, you know, little kids always just want to say the most random things. Like,
you'll
get my attention and you want to say, look at my spider web. No!
So she didn't know if it was going to be inappropriate.
I was slightly annoyed, like, oh goodness, what is he about to say? And then, okay, go ahead.
So then he turns to Amber and says, will you marry my dad? So I'm assuming you didn't even kind of hear him initially. Did you?
No, I think I did. He said it. Look, he was like, Am, will you marry my dad? And it was so sweet. Oh. It was so sweet. And then Philip was on one knee. Like, it was totally unexpected. Like, it was really sweet.
Yeah. So that's how I proposed. I was down on one knee.
Yeah.
She said yes. And, you know, my family was completely surprised. Like, I orchestrated it with my brother. I wanted to make sure that it was okay for me to do that at his graduation dinner. I wanted to make sure, you know, that wasn't taking away his shine or anything like that. So he knew, but no one else knew. And it was just like, I dropped a bomb on everybody. It was like, what? So yeah.
Well, this is a good time to kind of get back into things. So we talked about your mom, Amber, but how did your family, Philip, feel about Amber? Were they on board too? And like, you guys need to get married, you know, and get this thing moving?
Well, no, actually they weren't.
They were not on board at all. They were not happy about anything.
Yeah, no, they weren't on board with it at all.
They were not happy about anything, like, which was totally shocking to me, because I had been around for so long and like had been over all the time and all of these things, but they were not happy about it.
Yeah, my parents really felt like I wasn't ready to get married.
Uh-huh.
So it was more so of like, no, you're not ready to get married. Like, we see you as where you are in the point of your life, and we don't see any stability. We don't see any maturity. We don't think that you're ready. Mm. So that was their point of view, as far as like thinking that if we were getting, you know, if we were ready to get married or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So but it was a struggle
to do with Amber. It was more about like, we don't really see this in you, Philip.
Yeah. But I will say this. Mm-hmm. I'll say this too. I think a big difference that we've kind of analyzed at this point now was when he talked about my mom and how she was like, okay, so when are y'all getting married? My mom had seen Philip. She knew our relationship. She knew our backstory, because I had talked to my mom about a lot of that, but I'm the chatty one. Philip is not the chatty one. So they had seen me around, but they didn't really understand or know the dynamics of our relationship like my mom did. So they felt like it came out of left field. And even my family, who didn't even know I was pregnant or anything, they thought it was naturally the next step, because Philip had been around and they had seen that and heard and all of those things.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a little reminiscent of us, actually.
Not exactly,
a little bit. just in terms of our relationship, I'm Haitian, and there's really a certain way that you're supposed to kind of bring your girl to the family, just to present her and such. And I didn't. So my mom met her, and it was like, oh, hey, this is my girlfriend. And the next time she met her, hey, she's pregnant.
Why didn't you present her?
That's a whole nother episode of the pod. Yeah. The relationship wasn't the best, all kinds of foolishness, but I still pay for that. And we've been married.
I'm mad. Yeah. Do my girl right.
Yeah.
I know, right? That's a whole nother episode for another time. Yeah. This is not about us.
It's not about
us. Stay on topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the wedding, did you guys have a big wedding? How was wedding planning? Tell us more about that.
Now, that year was a really stressful year, because we found out we were pregnant. We got engaged. We got married. We had a baby, and we moved all in the same calendar year.
Yes.
All in the same calendar year.
And I was pregnant for most of that. So
actually, we moved twice.
Yes. So it was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a whole lot. I mean, that year, and I changed jobs.
Yeah, we had a lot going on that year. So we got engaged in May.
Mm-hmm.
We actually talked about this recently. We have two anniversaries. So we got married in May, on May 30th, but we end up having a wedding September 14th. So we have a wedding anniversary and a marriage anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time that we had our wedding, we were already married. But it was a lot, because I felt like I need to do everything on my own, but I was also pregnant and didn't know how to delegate or ask for help. And so it was just a lot to plan. And Philip, you know, he was as supportive as he could be. He didn't really care about as much. It was just kind of whatever you want. But he cared about more than I expected him to care about at the same time. So I realized early, don't ask for his opinion, because he actually may have one. And and it may not be what you want. So just do it yourself. I'm a little bossy, so...
So, well, man, we didn't have like a, what do you think, it was a big wedding? I mean, it was a decent size wedding, maybe 100 guests, maybe.
And that's something that we actually kind of clashed on a little. I wanted a really small wedding, and Philip wanted a huge wedding.
I wanted to invite the whole city.
Philip literally wanted to put it on Facebook. Hey, our wedding is this day at this time. Come on if you can.
Why not?
And literally our guest list, I was like, Philip, we need to go through this and I need to know how you know each person that you're putting on this list. And if I didn't feel like you knew them enough to be adding them, I was like, you know what? I'm just not sure if this is, like, convince me that they need to come. But he was doing stuff like, I can't remember. What's his name again? Let me look on Facebook. No! X! They cannot come. X! So I guess we had a medium-sized wedding.
Yeah. But it was a good time.
A really good time. And I will say that I guess I was a little, I don't know. We didn't have alcohol at our wedding, even though I really enjoyed drinking. But I was pregnant, and I just felt like if I can't drink, then I'm not buying alcohol for everybody else to drink. And so
and I don't drink.
And Philip doesn't drink. And so it was just like, we're not spending our money on alcohol if neither one of us are gonna drink it.
Yeah.
But we had a really good time though. It was a really good wedding. It was filled with like lots of love and support. So it was an exciting experience.
Oh, that's nice. How did your guests feel about, I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent, because how did your guests feel about the dry wedding, the no alcohol wedding?
I really didn't hear anybody really say anything about it too much. I mean, because the music was good, the food was good, and the atmosphere was good. Like, everybody kind of knew one another. So
my friends made it a wet wedding for them. and I let them know that, hey, there won't be alcohol. So they brought their own alcohol because my friends, that's what we did. You know, we hung out, we had a drink, but that wasn't Phillip's dynamics anyway. So yeah. I think that the ones who knew and kind of made it a good time. And so it really wasn't as bad, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't figure it would be bad at all. Our wedding was very similar. It's very reminiscent where I was heavily pregnant. And so as a result, because I wasn't drinking, he wasn't drinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then so we said we were going to have a dry wedding. And my family's like, ha-ha. Like, no. Bottles. And yeah, like people were, you know, unloading cars with like bottles. Like people were. It was not as dry as I thought it would have been.
Hennessy,
right? Same.
Vodka and Ciroc over here.
now, in 2 years, when we have our 10-year anniversary, we're gonna
renew our vows. Mm-hmm.
But this wedding will be.
Oh, wet. It's gonna be real.
It's gonna be wet as the ocean. I can tell you that right now.
It's gonna be real wet. So we plan on having like a really huge, just like vow renewal type celebration thing. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we just did that a few years ago. We did a vow renewal.
2019.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So
you guys have been married 12 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, coming up on 12. Yeah.
Okay.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So you guys are married now. Mm-hmm. Trying to get the train back on the tracks. So you guys are married now. Has anything changed as far as the dynamics of your relationship now that you've gone from girlfriend, boyfriend to husband, wife, and now mom, dad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so much.
Definitely a lot. At this point, I'm trying to figure out actually how to be a husband. Now a new father, because now I am with my child 24/7. At first, you know, I'm just with my son one day a week and every other weekend. So I didn't really get that late night crying having to get up and changing diapers. And so I'm getting the full-fledged aspect of being a dad.
And you were in college when he was a baby. Yeah. So you were just coming home on the weekend.
Right. So I was just coming home on the weekends in college. But now that I have my son with my wife, now this is a completely different experience. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
but go ahead.
I'm just gonna say it changed a lot for us. I think that what really helped us, I think you see a lot of times, like, now we're new parents and we're struggling, so we're struggling with one another. But for us, I don't think that really happened. Like, our friendship was so deep that anytime there was like any like turbulence, it just made our friendship so much deeper and our relationship so much deeper. So the one thing that we really learned, like in that first year of marriage, was how to really lean on one another in every situation. Mm-hmm. So with the baby, like us, you know, figuring it out together, us both being at work, but still having a newborn, like just all of that, we just had to like figure it out. And now we're young at the time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're still having new experiences in life, mm-hmm. on top of being married and on top of having a baby. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we just really got to a point to where we were like, no, we got each other and we got to keep each other. And we got to work it out.
Yeah, those first few years when you get married, it's kind of you against the world type of thing.
100%.
Yeah, you're just trying to figure out what you're going to do. And, you know, it's nice to have mom and dad on the side, but it's really, how are we going to do this?
What is we all we got?
Yeah, exactly. So that's really tight, right?
That's why I said our love is ours.
Right. You
know, because now that it's us now. So we have complete control over how we want to do this thing.
Right.
I like that.
And we're still growing up so much at the same time too. Like we're still maturing, coming into the people that we are going to be or want to be. So just literally from the moment I got pregnant, for like the next like 2 years or so, we just had so many changes and life was just throwing so much at us. And we were just like dodging and navigating and just trying to figure it out together and stay afloat.
Okay. All right. So tell us about the birth. Tell us the story. I mean, how was it for you? I mean, I know because I listened about you talking about how you when you were pregnant, but kind of tell our listeners obviously I'm sure you were emotional, you know, pregnancy is tough, but how did that help the relationship? How did that help the friendship? Or did the friendship really help handling the pregnancy? Kind of tell us about that for you too.
So when you listen, I feel like we talked about the second birth more than the first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So you may have heard that story because we had a daughter 3 years ago.
I didn't realize I was
wrong. We was only a baby number one. Like, I don't understand why we got to push them. You know, let them get there.
What happened again tonight? No, I'm not going that fast.
You're just excited, okay?
I am.
My head. He's listening, so he knows this other stuff. He's like, talk about that.
My bad. Yeah. I got to put that stuff to the side. I don't know. Go ahead.
So baby one was a totally different birthing experience than the second. I was pregnant. I was 25 now. I didn't know much about this. So I'm listening to everything that the doctors are saying. And I just want to have a safe, healthy delivery. Well, come to find out, my baby is breached. And I didn't know he was breached until I went to my 40-week appointment checkup. 40 weeks is when I found out he was breached.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when they told me he was breached, how it happened was I went and got like these series of tests because like all weekend I had been like leaking fluids. And so I was like, hey, I need to check and make sure everything's all right. And so I got a ultrasound and I asked the tech, I was like, hey, can you point on my body and tell me like where his body parts are? And the first thing she did, she was like, well, here's his head and here's his butt. And then she paused and she was like, that's his head. Oh my goodness, he's breached. And I was like, well, he's been in this position for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand why they didn't know he was breached. And I'm normally such an inquisitive person. So I kind of beat myself up a little bit like, is this something that you should have known to check on? Yeah. But I remember when he shifted, but I honestly just assumed it was his butt because I would feel it. I'm like, surely they would know if he was breached. So that's not the case. So I just assumed it was his butt. So what I thought I was feeling his hands, his feet, I was feeling his hands. And what I thought was his butt was his head. And so, yes, it was, even that happened fast. So
so on that day, it was like, okay, y'all ready to have a baby? Yeah. Because he has to come now.
Right.
So.
C-section.
I did. I had a C-section and I did not want to have a C-section. And so I was really nervous. And so they told us, hey, go home, get your bag, come back to the hospital. Well, a couple of my friends had told me that right when they, you know, right before you go to the hospital, go ahead and get you something to eat because you're not going to eat for a long time.
Oh, Lord.
Right. Because what I didn't know was that's fine when you're having a vaginal birth, but when you're having a C-section, that's surgery. and you don't need to eat before surgery. So we went and got wings. It was the best wings I had my entire life.
Food. She was trying to get a salad. She said, let's go get wings.
Yeah, wings and fries.
They said I wasn't going to eat for a while. So, I needed to get something filling. True. And one thing about pregnancy is I was so hungry all the time. I just couldn't even fathom not eating for a long time because pregnancy just made me so, so hungry. So we get back to the hospital. And she was like, doing our intake. And she was like, okay, when's the last time you've eaten? And I'm proud. I'm like, oh, about 30 minutes ago. And she was like, you just ate?
Like, yeah. Y'all told us to leave and now we're back.
Right.
She's like, no, you're not supposed to eat. So now we have to wait. So now Amber's crying. I'm like, oh.
Because they said we had to wait 6 hours. And I'm like, well, if my baby was already, didn't pass the stress test, so I needed to have the C-section now. Why are we waiting 6 hours? And so I'm devastated again. And I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, you're already been a horrible mom. You've put your baby in danger because you just had to get something to eat. And that's just how I was. And I was just like, yeah, this is horrible. So I'm boo-hooing. And the nurse is like, I assure you, like, it's okay if he really needs to come out now. We will not be concerned with you throwing up because you ate. Yeah. And we will go ahead and get him out. But it was such, like, it was my first child. I was so nervous and afraid already. And then I thought that I didn't make a good decision, yeah. Which, I mean, I guess it really wasn't the best decision, but.
Yeah, but she took it so personal.
I took it, like, I was like, no, you're already not looking out for your child.
Yeah.
So it was an experience. And then tell them about, well, is that it? Do you want to say anything else about that?
About the what?
Just about the C-section and stuff.
Oh, no, I mean, whoa, well, the actual, during the actual birth, this is when I felt like I got really, really close to my wife because now I'm in the delivery room and they've cut her open and now they're moving stuff around and the doctor has pulled her small intestines or large intestines, whatever. But I actually saw her intestines with my own eyes and I'm like, this is my first time ever seeing an organ. And I'm just like, all right, you know, like... You know, this is my wife and I've seen your inside. So, you know, like this is a whole different thing here.
Right. It don't get no closer than that.
It don't get no closer than that. So, you know, but our son was born just as healthy. And when he came out, he was upset. Like his lip was like folded.
Literally
like,
poked out.
He was pouting. He was like, like, what are y'all doing? I was just fine. And
right.
I'm out here like this. I don't, this is too much.
Like, he didn't cry or anything. It was just like, you interrupted me and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah. 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 So,
the room in there was safe. It was dark. I don't
know.
Right. Yes. And I'm like, buddy, you gotta go. I didn't know that you could go. At the time, I just didn't know you could go past your due date. And I just thought when they said it was your due date that I was going to have the baby by this date. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying at my checkup, I was like, so what happens if I come back next week and I'm still pregnant? He was like, well, we could probably go out maybe 2 weeks. I'll let you go 2 weeks before we do anything. And I was like, no, you said my due date. So the baby needs to be here by then. That's not what you told me.
Yeah, because at this time she is tired.
Yes.
She's been pregnant all year because our son was born in December.
Right.
So she was pregnant all year. She's like, you know, we've had this wedding.
Right.
We moved. Like, look, I am tired.
He has to go. I was like, no, he has to go.
Eviction notice has been posted.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Right. And it's so funny that I was so unaware at the time. And now actually in my profession, I'm a doula. But at the time I just knew... I knew nothing about it. I was just so uninformed.
Oh, okay. So how long was it between baby number one and baby number two?
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
four and a half years.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little gap. And we said at first that when our son was maybe like a year and a half, 2 years, we were going to have the conversation on if we wanted to have another baby. So it wouldn't be so much of a gap. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us was ready for another child. And at the time I felt like I was so like complacent, so good with having just one child. I was like, I don't think I need another baby. And then somewhere along the way, I was like, oh, just kidding. I do. So then
baby girl came 4.5 years later, and and this experience was completely different from the first experience. I mean, they were night and day.
Yeah.
Night and day. Because this time we had a doula.
Uh-huh.
This time Amber had a vaginal birth.
Uh-huh.
This time she labored for 48 hours. This time was like night and day.
It was
completely different. But this time we were both active in the labor. Like, we were having this baby together.
Yeah.
So our doula was teaching us how to get me involved, how to get Amber comfortable, uh-huh. how to get her moving around and making sure that she's drinking her water and just how to prepare for the birth. And it was a really, really great experience.
And it was twofold, really, because on one hand, it was such a magical experience, and it just brought our relationship to another level that we didn't even realize we could get to.
Yeah.
But it was all of that for us. But then also this whole different layer of the healthcare disparities that I faced as well, because it was like, I was not treated how I should have been treated, but at the time I can't focus on that. So it even took me like maybe a month or so to even process my birth and realize, oh, a bunch of stuff happened that shouldn't have happened. But in the immediate, it was just such a magical time because it was just me and Philip and my doula there. And we labored at home for so long, and literally like he was helping with the different movements. And it was just, I mean, the best way I can explain it was so magical for us at the time. It was a really good experience in that way for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, but these doctors suck, and they really do be treating you different because you're Black. Oh,
yeah.
So it was both of those.
Yeah.
It is such a shame with the healthcare system, but I'm glad that you can find, you know, the highlights of that moment and to appreciate those. Is that, you know,
definitely it was such an experience. Yeah. Like I can't even explain it. It was such an experience.
Yeah, but and from that experience, that's what gave Amber her drive to be a doula herself, so she could advocate for other women that look like her.
Right.
During that time, because now she's had that experience, she knows what it feels like to not to have someone speak for you, because you're not focused on any of that. You're focused on your baby.
Right.
You're focused on your body. You're trying to make sure that you give this baby the nice, clean, healthy exit that you envisioned, and
right.
You don't have time to figure out, you know, how you feel. Like you don't care about how you feel.
Right.
You want this baby to come out healthy. So I think that's kind of what, you know, drove her to, you know, like, no, I need to be a doula so I can help other women that look like me.
Definitely. And I feel like I'm a pretty vocal person. And I was just like, if I'm vocal already, but I couldn't even really speak up for myself, just imagine, you know, the women who aren't even as vocal as I am. I know that, you know, that they're not able to speak up for themselves either. And so that is what really drove my decision. But it is crazy because I had both of those experiences. We had both of those experiences in one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for our marriage, it just, we were floating on clouds for like so long, just in our marriage off of that experience.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic.
Side question. What was it like, Philip, when you watched your daughter be born?
Harry, let me tell you, man.
By the way, I've got three, so I know what's up. But tell me, what was that feeling?
Harry, let me tell you, man. So I was there for the birth of my son, the my oldest son. I was there for the birth of my second son. And now with the birth of my daughter, I mean, as soon as I saw her face, I just couldn't help it. My eyes just started to water. She just was so delicate and just so beautiful. I just could not help myself. It was, when I tell you, there was just an emotion of love and just, I mean, she imprinted on me.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just looked in her eyes and I just like, man, you are the most beautifulest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like and I love my wife and she's very beautiful. But when I saw my daughter's face, honey, man, I just can't explain it, man. It was just so overwhelming. And I was so filled with love and joy. And I was like, man, you know, no one is ever going to break your heart. I'm going to tell you that right now. But man, it was just so beautiful, man. So beautiful.
Such a beautiful thing.
I know.
And now she's his boss.
Yeah.
I mean,
only a matter of time.
How else could that story have ended?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, wrapped around his finger. That's it.
All the way around.
Now she comes in the room at 6 a.m. and just says, "Dad, oatmeal." All right. All right, here we go.
Strawberry.
So, oh my goodness. So that was my experience.
Yeah.
It's fun raising children.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Has parenthood brought your bond closer together as husband and wife?
Absolutely.
Friends?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I think one of the biggest things for parenthood for us was it was a mirror. I know for me, like, I'm now seeing a little human that we're in charge of raising, and you get called out on so much of your stuff through these kids. Because it's like they're learning things from you. And for me, especially in the beginning, I'm like, oh, I need to work on that. Or I start seeing so much of myself in my children. And I'm like, oh, he got that from me. I don't want him to have that. So it just kind of, you know, it just kind of was a mirror for me to really see things that I could improve on just as a person. Mm-hmm. Then when I had my daughter, it wasn't just things that I could improve on as a person. It's like, now it's things you need to do as a woman. Because you're raising somebody who's going to be a woman one day, and you need to make sure that you have it together for her. So for us, it's definitely been like a mirror of like just our imperfections and, you know, things that we could just do to make sure we give them the best, you know, chance at life.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only just with the physical and the materialistic stuff, but just with the values, with the spiritual things, and just with the just being prepared to be productive adults out in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just thinking about things like making sure that they have healthy communication skills, mm-hmm. and, you know, making sure that they embrace their vulnerability and all of that, because those are things that, I mean, I wasn't taught as a young Black boy growing up, because my parents were focused on making sure that I had the accolades, that we went to school and we graduated from college and things of that nature, and not necessarily focusing on the inside. You know, so now that's why I was saying, you know, early with this is our marriage, and like, you know, we are doing this the way we want, because now we're focused on both, making sure that, mm-hmm. you know, we put them in the best position to be successful and also to be
good people.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we have a question that we always ask all of our couples, and this would be a great time to ask it. What do each of you think is the one thing that has changed in you for the better as a result of being in this relationship?
Hmm.
Okay.
That's really good.
That is a good question. I feel like, do you have your answer?
I have to think a little bit on this one.
Okay.
Because I got a couple.
Okay. So I always say that Philip makes me better. And I think the biggest thing that he's done to make me better is Philip is super kind. And I told y'all earlier that I was just mean, period. So Philip has really helped me learn how to be not just a kind person, but a better friend. Like, I didn't value friendships at first. And then just the friendship with Philip is not my longest lasting friendship, but it's definitely my deepest friendship that I have. And I just didn't value that at first. And just seeing our friendship, but then also seeing like the friendships that Philip fostered with other people, I'm like, I mean, I learned from it. And I was like, oh, I want to have some of that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he really made me a better person in that area of just like valuing those friendships and just being like a genuinely kind person. And I don't think I was mean to people like that, but I was just so focused on myself. Like, yeah. So that means I came off a little rude, or if I came off a little mean, it just was what it was. And I didn't think twice about it. And so he's definitely, I guess I gave you two answers, but he's definitely made me a better person in those areas.
Nice. Philip, how have you changed for the better because of Amber?
Well, definitely Amber really challenges me. And when she challenges me, she challenges me to also make me better as well. And that's really a tough task for me because I grew up with when anyone challenged me, I was just ready to, you know, to physically defend myself. And I would also take it just so personal. But with when Amber challenges me, she sees things in me to where she wants to help me become better as far as like with my communication with her and others and speaking up for myself and telling people how I truly feel and things of that nature, because she really, really values clarity. She doesn't want anything to be left up to chance or to assumption or anything like that. So just learning things like that from her really has, and it's still, she's still, well, I'm still working on it, but it really has moved me into a better direction of being more aware of that and being a better person.
Wow, I like that. I'm gonna step back, even though she asked this question, I liked it. There was a question I wanted to ask before. These last few podcasts that we've done, we've kind of had this thing I questioned, and it comes to how parents deal with each other in front of their kids, in particular conflict. Mm-hmm. So we've had some, we had one couple and the husband was like, I never saw my parents argue my entire childhood, ever. Mm-hmm. And because of that, he didn't like the idea of arguing in front of his kids with his wife. Mm-hmm. He had somebody else say, our kids didn't know how to argue, how to deal with conflict because they never saw it, because it never happened. What do you guys think?
So I'll go first.
Okay.
So in the beginning of our marriage, I think we were on the kind of the same page with that, saying, you know what, we're not going to argue in front of our son. Like we don't want to do that. But later on, as we started to progress in our marriage, and when we started to become more aware of these things and how they affect our children, we have decided to make sure that when we do have a disagreement in front of our children, that when we handle it maturely, and we're able to let him and her see that we are on different pages, but we can communicate that without the yelling, without the cursing, right, without the being disrespectful, without the, you know, and all of that. We don't do any of that anyway, but we make sure that we just don't table it, because the kids don't see it, that don't mean that they're going to grow up and know how to do it.
Right.
So we want them to see that, you know, our parents weren't perfect. You know, they did argue, but when they argued, it wasn't bad. I don't have any trauma behind it.
Right.
You know, so I saw how they handled that, and they handled it like adults. And now I see how to do it.
Right. Or I'm not afraid of conflict because I never saw it.
Correct. So yeah. So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely how we do things. And that's our thought process on it. Like, we want them to understand that conflict is natural, but it's a healthy way to have that conflict. So we don't have like every disagreement in front of them or anything, but we do have some disagreements in front of them just so they can see that. Now, if it's something that starts to get like a little deeper, then it's kind of like, all right, you know what? We're going to go ahead and get them a bath and we're going to talk about this when they go to bed. But for the most part, you know, we definitely want them to see that conflict and be able to see that it's okay and not run from it, but learn how to communicate, you know, and work through it.
I think it's interesting, not interesting. I think it's important, especially as Black husbands. We aren't always perceived as intellectual thought that we think. We seem to be action. So Black men are going to do something. And especially when you have daughters. I've got three, you've got one. I think it's incredibly important that our kids see that mom and dad can disagree and mom isn't concerned about her safety.
Absolutely.
Right.
So I think when I heard this, and I'm like, I mentioned it, and I'm no expert. I'm a husband just like you are, or you know, I'm a spouse. But I think little things like that will have a huge effect on the relationship they have later on. We should be able to argue And
right.
And she should be able to argue with her husband, whatever, and know that it's just going to be words. It's not
right. It's just an argument.
Right. And see, black man, if she's going to be with a man and this man is not going to do anything, he's going to disagree. It could get loud, right. But at worst, it's going to be loud. And it's not going to be violent. It's not going to be taken to another level.
I feel right.
Like we have to do certain things like that so that us black men and black marriage in general mm-hmm. is represented and shown that we can argue and we do it just like regular people do. We're not different.
Right.
So I think this is something I'm going to, any couple I'm going to talk to, because I think I don't like arguing. Men, we tend to not like conflict. But if
I don't like it at all.
I mean, me neither. Yeah. Me neither.
Y'all get on my nerves. Y'all get on my nerves. Y'all never want to talk.
I know. But I have to go take a walk. I'm like, where are you going?
No.
Right. Talk about it. Use your words.
No, that was early on, because, you know, I'll be annoyed and I'm like, okay, I need some time to let me go put it together. Let me process it. And listening to you guys, I feel like you're kind of the same way. You need some time to just kind of clear some stuff up before you come back to it. Mm-hmm. So obviously communication is something that you've improved on because of this relationship, Phil. So,
oh, for sure.
So that's good to hear. So you got one? Go for it.
If you have another question,
nope,
okay, wonderful. Well, I think this is a good time to kind of wind down, and I'd love to know what you guys are up to now, and you know, if there's anything new or interesting, or how our audience might be able to keep up with you guys.
Okay.
Go ahead, boo.
So you said by the time your audience hears this, we will have launched our website.
Okay.
Yay! Yes. Yeah. And an ebook.
Oh.
So y'all check that out. Our website will be www.blackwithaq4life.com.
Okay.
You can always find us on social, Instagram at Black Love for Life, spelled the same way, and YouTube as well. So that's the things that we are working on. Am I missing anything?
I think that's it. But we always tune in to our Instagram, because we try to post every day. We just try to tell our story mm-hmm. through our page.
Yep.
So
that is fantastic. And we will make sure we link everything in the show notes so everybody can go there and just easily one click and they'll be right in contact with you guys.
That's good.
But I want to thank you both, Amber and Philip, for joining us today, for sharing your love story. I think you guys have so many more beautiful years ahead of you.
Thank you.
I love your story. I love your love. I love your passion for each other. And I love this Black family that you've created.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Carice, for real. We really do appreciate that.
This is another great episode. And it's so nice to see just... I'm not saying that you're not special, but Black love is. You know what it is? I'm normalizing it. You know what I mean? I feel like the whole idea of the
you
know what I meant. Thank you.
I got you.
Man, he knew what I was talking about. But I'm not gonna get at you.
I was trying to be helpful.
No, you weren't.
You don't like help.
Stop it. No, you're trying to start this conflict. You know I'm not about that. So what I'm saying is that I think the idea of just us just being together, just living life, we're just a regular couple. We just
right.
You know what? And that's not always seen. So it's it's just a pleasure to see a beautiful Black couple out in the world doing your thing, succeeding and doing well. And you are very much what couples can aspire to be. So again, thank you for giving us your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
absolutely,
guys.
We really do appreciate you all for reaching out and having us on. We really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for answering. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Harvey,
I think we've heard yet another beautiful Black love story. I am so excited for, you know, just the future of Black love. I feel like it's coming into its own. But with that being said, and having their own individual, you know, way of going about their relationship, I would say that we've definitely learned today that love is ours.
I agree.
That's definitely it.
That fits.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Many things.
But this good love is black.
Thanks for listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Please help support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review.
And connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Love is Black Podcast.
See you next week.